Good morning, my friends. May I begin today with a brief explanation? This Walking with Jesus journey began May 1st. We are attempting to follow the New Testament chronologically after Jesus returned to heaven in Acts 1. We did a diversion to the Old Testament, to Exodus, because so much of Paul's writings and, of course, the Gospel are based on an understanding of that Exodus story. While we send a daily email offering you the fresh link for that day to the website, if technology fails and you do not receive that daily email, you can always use any past email link to get into the website, and there you should find all the Walking with Jesus commentaries right up to date on the Daily Archives tab. Of course, that same tab helps you find any past Walking with Jesus which you may have missed or want to read again. Now today, in our continuing chronological journey, we return to the book of Acts, chapter 20. We believe Paul's letter to the Romans was written during the 3 months he spent in the region of Greece, as mentioned in chapter 20, verse 2 of Acts. That letter was sent off to Rome with Phoebe from Kentria, as we saw yesterday in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. You'll remember Paul had in his younger life been known as Saul of Tarsus and was a zealous Pharisee. His salvation on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9 and his subsequent passion for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as he had received it by the Holy Spirit made the Jews everywhere view him as a traitor, and everywhere Paul went he faced Jewish opposition, as we see in Acts 20 verse 3. In verse 4, Luke gives us a very special list of men including their hometowns. Why? You may recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul discussed a gathering of financial help from all the churches that he had planted throughout the region. That financial help was to be brought to Jerusalem, where the Christians there were facing a very difficult time of famine and strong persecution. Thus, we believe each of these mentioned in Acts 20 verse 4 is actually carrying the financial gift from the church in his town. Please notice the us in verse 5 and the we in verse 6. Dr. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, has rejoined Paul and his traveling group, so is now writing in the first person. We've probably all been present at a graduation ceremony or even maybe a Sunday sermon when the speaker seems to go on endlessly. And perhaps some of us have actually fallen asleep in such situations. But I doubt any of us have fallen out of our chairs and died when listening to a long-winded speaker, yet that's what Dr. Luke explains in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 12. But look at what Paul did in response to this sudden disaster and how God turned tragedy into triumph. Now, I would imagine that young man had a story to tell for the rest of his life. The very special reunion between Paul and the elders of the church of Ephesus, which Luke describes for us in Acts 20, verse 17 to 38, is profound and where I'd like to focus this morning. Paul loved these dear folks. Acts chapter 19 describes some of the reasons why. In his more than 2 years in Ephesus, God had raised up a dynamic group of Christians whose lives had been radically changed. They so impacted their city that several significant things occurred which actually changed the society there, and the Ephesian church became a leader in the movement of Jesus' followers throughout Asia. These elders had walked several miles, anxious for this brief encounter with Paul, out of their great love and respect for him. Let's read Luke's account of what Paul said to these Ephesian elders, and while we do, may I ask each of us to ask ourselves these two questions. First, how would I summarize my spiritual journey and the effect my life has had on the people in all the places that I've lived? Two, how would I characterize my spiritual passion, my life priorities, my obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as He has been leading me in following Jesus, as I both become the person God is refining me to be and accomplish the assignments that God is entrusting uniquely to me? Now, I realize you might think those are good questions for missionaries or pastors, but are they really fair for normal folks like all of us? Oh, yes, my friends. In fact, they are especially appropriate for all of us, since God calls all Christians His ambassadors of Christ, as though God is making His appeal through us. Remember that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. So let's look closely. Paul says in verse 19, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested. We've all faced challenges, difficulties, great stress in our lives for lots of different reasons. But can we say we have served Jesus with great humility, even when times got so difficult our tears flowed? Paul said in verse 20 that, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. Can we say that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 is a fair reflection of the reputation we all have of how we talk with people? Remember, it says, let not any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Now, Paul says in verse 21 that he has been faithful in sharing the clear gospel of Jesus Christ to any and all who will listen. Have we? Look at verse 22 to 24, my friends. Paul says, and now I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus gave me. Wow! How often have you and I stepped out in great faith, confident God was leading us to something, maybe even a relocation to another city or a new job, not fully certain what was ahead, but confident we were obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And what did you experience, my friends? I know for Donnie and me, that has been many times, and most of you, dear friends, have been part of that journey in one place or another. That verse 24 is so powerful, isn't it? As Paul declares boldly that his life only has value if he is accomplishing the task God has entrusted to him. And in his case, that was taking the gospel to people and places Jesus was unknown. Have you considered, my friends, how similar your assignment and mine has been from God as compared to Paul's? From the day each of us trusted Jesus to be our Savior, it has been our privilege to grow more and more in our relationship with Jesus and represent Him to the people we meet each day, right? Does this verse remind you of something from the very last chapter that Paul wrote in his life? The time has come for my departure, he wrote. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That's 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. That includes you and me, my friends, if you've trusted Jesus to save you, and you are certain of heaven as your destiny. What Paul said next to these Ephesians friends both shocked and saddened them. Now I know that none of you will ever see me again, Paul said. While Paul did not know the details of his future, he had a driving passion to bring the gospel to Rome, and if possible beyond, to Spain and Europe. He had fully anticipated that his death would come in that region of the world, far from Ephesus. The gospel had been established in Ephesus, and that whole region. The unreached regions of the world beckoned Paul, despite his awareness that persecution and possible death awaited him. Do you see the little phrase, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, in verse 26? That does not mean that he had not shed blood. It's a reference back to the Old Testament and a powerful picture in Ezekiel chapter 33, where God challenges the prophet Ezekiel that God raises up what he calls watchmen, to warn the people when disaster is coming. If they do, and the people respond, they are saved. If the watchmen warn, but the people disregard the warning, their fate is their fault. If, however, disaster is coming, and the watchman remains silent, so the people are caught off guard, unprepared, then God said to Ezekiel that the blood of the people is the responsibility of the silent watchmen who failed in their responsibility. Paul here is both declaring his faithfulness in having warned people of the reality of eternity apart from God in hell if they refuse the gospel and Jesus Christ. And he's also challenging these men to keep doing the same thing in Ephesus. Can we make the application to ourselves, my friends? Are we all Ezekiel 33 watchmen, whom God has raised up and to whom God has given the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to share with a dying world? As you read through the rest of Paul's powerful commissioning messages to these dear friends from Ephesus, every phrase is filled with emotion and significance. May I urge us all to read it very carefully and personalize it, as though each of us is standing there in that little group of Ephesian elders and Paul is speaking to us, looking right into our eyes about the church you and I are part of and the people who live in our communities. And then I urge you to take some time to talk with Jesus about what he's saying to you through Paul here in Acts 20. And to help you contemplate, my friends, I just have to offer you this very powerful YouTube song from the Collingsworth family, What Earthly Reason. You'll see a link for it there in the notes that I've written for you today. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for Acts chapter 20, and thank you for this group of more than 200 people on the journey with me as we're trying to walk with you. Please, Jesus, speak powerfully to each of us today. In Jesus' name.